coming to you from our new home at DynastyLeagueFootball.com and a DLF family of podcasts. We are the Superflex Super Show. We talk QB values, Superflex strategies, evaluate and debate Superflex trades, plus our own twist on Superflex team management with exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, and You Are Nuts. So when you're done with this awesome DLF podcast, find us on Twitter at Superflex Show and join us in the discussion of the fastest growing format in all of fantasy football, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Meatloaf Wildcat, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Chris Stoops, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Man, I'm so thrown off from him using Meatloaf Wildcat. welcome to session 102 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. I was pointing to my awesome DLF t-shirt as I said that. Damn, man, we were talking before how just nothing mattered. Like, time has no meaning anymore. Like, I was trying to think of something to say, and I'm just like, I don't even know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I don't know. Oof. But I do have to say one thing. Brian and I have curated such a perfect and wonderful listener and followership that when I tweet out, either give us something to talk about, or we're going to spend an entire show comparing Moana and Frozen, and everyone is all about it. Yeah. We definitely have done something right there.
Yes. Yeah, that was a fun thread today or Twitter chain there. That was interesting.
So yeah, so last week I was not here. Last week was I had food poisoning, which led to me just getting super dehydrated, which led to me getting a 2 to 3 day migraine. So it was just a shit week altogether. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to relax. Not going to record this week. And then I listened to Brian and Dustin, and then they were just so damn good. I'm like, I am not losing my job. I cannot be out of minds for this long. I came back. I'm not 100%. Even if, man, doesn't matter. As long as I'm not 0%, I'm not letting... Brian's gotten good at hosting. I just cursed. I'm going to have to edit. Damn.
Well, listen, thank you. That I appreciate that. But hey, all I'm trying to do is live up to the standard that you have set. So it's all good. We had fun last week. Dustin was great. And
hey, yo, hold on. I'm going to interrupt because that was Dustin's first time ever on a podcast.
Ever. Yep.
And he was
outstanding.
He was like, okay, Russ, I need you to be brutally honest. Just tell me everything. And I'm like, man, like, I'm trying to, like, I kind of want to pretend to be a dick, and I just can't. Like, you did really well. I mean, go back and listen to episode 3, that first time of me and Brian talking to each other. You'll see what bad podcasting is like.
Yes, without a doubt.
Really freaking good, man.
Yeah, he did awesome.
Go because... like you said on the show, it all started when we had the TA3 Zoom meeting just to hang out with each other, and he got the bug from it. All of a sudden, he's like, yo, what equipment should I be getting? I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But speaking of the TA3 meeting, Chris Stoops is here. Chris Stoops is also hashtag TA3 for life. You have been on the show before, so we're not going to do the whole interviewee thing, but you have expanded your reach in the fantasy community. So why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you now do, and where they could find what you now do?
Yeah, so I have been on before. It was early-ish it's been a little while, but I enjoyed that. That was kind of one of my first endeavors into getting onto a podcast. But yeah, ever since then, it's definitely, I've been welcomed heavily in the industry. I got my own podcast with my buddy Ricky over at the Debbie Delight. We're with expandtheboxscore.com. So great stats over there. You can get a promo code Stoops and you get 10% off. So little plug there. But
he has his own promo code. That's awesome.
I do have my own promo code. So no, I that a lot. You know, the Debbie aspect is a huge part, you know, of what really, really got me into the dynasty. Once I found that it was a thing, I definitely jumped in as quick as I could to that, because, you know, started off just obviously the NFL aspect of it, and then I watch a lot of college football. So I just figured if I can draft the guys now, I'm gonna go ahead and do it. So yeah, I'm pretty active on Twitter, try and stay, you know, my DMs are always open, so anything that's ever sent my way, I try and respond as quick as I can. I've cut my leagues down quite a bit. I was in I think like 8 or 9 last year. I'm down to about 4 or 5 now, so doing that. But that's honestly everything I do, you know, the Debbie Delight and with Expand the Box Score, and stay active on Twitter, and finally got a better team in Trade Addicts 3. So I'm happy about that. I am not competing. I know I'm not at that level, but I am much better than I was before. I'll just say that.
Second chance dispersals, man. You should put them in your leagues. Just in case you don't know, at least the way I did it in the Trade Addicts leagues is, there has to be one orphan at least for it to kick off the second chances. But what a dispersal is, in case people listening don't know, all of the assets from the team, players and picks, go into a pool. And then whoever's participating gets to do a snake draft from that pool. The way the second chance dispersals work is, no one knows who is in these dispersals until it starts, until everyone, you know, decides if they're going to be in it. You have a third party, or me, I'm far too lazy for that, so I make up my decision right away and I tell everyone just to let me know. And so no one knows what players or picks are really going to be in this dispersal. So that's why you have to just know, okay, I'm not digging this team, so I'm going to go in on it. And me, I'm just bored and like drafting dispersals, so I did it anyway. So it's a way to keep things fresh. It keeps people from getting bored, people getting too upset with their team. And what we do is, you cannot be in two consecutive dispersals, as a way to stop people from just selling all out to try and win, losing, and then getting upset and just joining a dispersal. So that's what he was saying, where he's got a better team because we did the second chance, which I also jumped in. I had a good team, didn't care, just wanted to do it anyway. It's fun.
It's just fun to draft. It's fun to draft. So,
and dispersals always create more trading. Mm-hmm. I am too lazy to allow outside people to trade in, because that's just stuff I have to keep track of, and I don't like having to do stuff. So, but that's also another way to create activity among the league, even if you are not involved in that second chance dispersal. So, anything else before we get started? Brian saw Onward, since we're not actually going to we're not going to decide to talk about Frozen versus Moana, but if it happens, it happens. But I did want to talk about Onward a little bit, because the new Pixar movie, I saw it in the theaters. Brian just saw it recently, mm-hmm. because Disney Plus was wonderful to us and put it out to stream almost like right away.
Yep.
Did you cry?
Yes.
At the, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very.
Absolutely.
It's funny, because like, you go through this movie and it's, at first it's clever because it's like real everyday life with unicorns and centaurs and minotaurs and all of these mythological beings. And it's like, okay, no, that's cute. That's funny. And you're like, wait, no, this is a good movie. And then you're just, oh my God, I have so many feelings.
Yeah.
Like, well, now that I know it's on Disney Plus, I got to go watch it. I haven't seen it. So,
it's really good.
Oh, wait. Really good. Pause. We'll wait.
It
was a wonderful progression of a movie. I mean, my kids liked it. I think just because of this, like, I guess it was the perfect thing, because it was enough of the fairy tale stuff to keep the kids entertained, but it was a good enough movie that clearly I guess call us adults if you have to. We liked it also.
Yeah, I think the thing for me, and again, without giving too much away, but the thing that got me was that, and this is really not very smart on my part. I mean, Pixar movies, right? They almost always hit you in the feels. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, this movie didn't feel like that. Like, as we're going along, mm-hmm. it was like,
let your guard down.
I did. I let my guard down. I didn't think they were going to hit me right in the feels. I mean, I thought, you know, it would be a nice ending to the story or whatever. And, you know, whatever. But it caught me, man. It was a twist that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, mm-hmm. that action was like, whoa.
And then all of a sudden you're cutting onions and.
Yep. And my daughter's sitting on my lap watching it too. And that always adds to it. You know, the kid sitting there just half asleep on your lap. And, you know, yet they do something that moves your emotions and you look down at your kid and it's like, oh my gosh.
So it just has some really bad allergies.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely the cry. I'll full disclosure. I am definitely the crier in our family. My wife is like a stoic statue. She's awesome. She's amazing. But mm-hmm. She's not really a crier. When it comes to the movies, but Coco got her.
Oh, such a good
movie. Coco got her. Yeah, but that's really the only one. She's pretty level headed with them. But me, man, woo. Yeah, and Onward was good. It got me.
The worst I think I ever got was Toy Story 3. There's something about cartoon characters accepting their deaths that just make me start bawling instantly. So they're in that incinerator and they just like drop their heads and lock hands. And yep. I am bawling. Like, I don't even, there's nothing that cries as much as I was crying in that very crowded movie theater.
Oh man, we should probably talk about football.
Hey, we're just giving the people what they want.
That is true, and I love it. But I, you know, we start talking about all these movies, and I mean, I might get emotional right here.
I was gonna say, it sounds like y'all are getting there. Nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
Okay, so there was no real news because nothing's happening right now. Though I did read something interesting that. None of these people have actually done their physicals for the trades or have actually signed paperwork. So all this stuff that has happened for the past few weeks can just be null and void at some point.
Not quite news.
But that's like a big deal, right? Like, all of a sudden this nuke trade doesn't go through because they haven't been able to get their physicals and stuff like that. Or
Gurley's name.
All of a sudden, something really good running back falls to the Falcons in the second round. They're like, no, we're not going to sign Gurley because he never signed on the dotted line yet, which is a super jerk move on the team's part, but seems like something that can really happen. Like, does this scare you at all? Because I wouldn't put it past teams to pull this stuff.
Well, I'm just going to say, so when you brought up Gurley, hearing that, like, it does me, because I'm in the middle of an auction startup right now, and I have Gurley. I got him cheap because everyone's kind of, you know, taking their reservations towards him. So I figured, you know, I'll give it a shot, whatever. So it's one of those. So I think I got him for $60, and it was like a $1,200 allotment of money. So it wasn't a huge chunk of it. But still, you know, that's who I'm essentially counting on being one of my starting running backs. So yeah, for me, on his level, if you know, they do decide that, hey, you know what, we're gonna move on to something else because you never signed, like, that's pretty worrisome for me, for sure.
Like, I get that we have moved on in technology. Actually, no, there's two sides to this. We've moved on in technology. The e-signatures are a thing, man. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you need to have it actually, like, fake pen and paper, like, get that dude an iPad Pro. It comes with the pen. He can actually sign it. You have a lawyer there. You film it. Do whatever the hell you need to do. Or to get a freaking fax machine. Yep. Like, remember what was that years ago with Elvis Doomerville where he didn't get re-signed because the fax machine was broken or something? Like, mm-hmm. fax machines used to work. Why can't they do it now? Like, I read that and it blew my mind. It's just like, first of all, man, that's messed up. Second of all, there's a thousand ways around this. Maybe not the physicals part, because people need to doctors need to touch people to give them physicals. But just signing on the line, if that's the only issue, then I think that's kind of messed up. And that kind of, I don't put it past teams to do something like that. And that kind of scares me for the integrity of the league, as I do air quotes. And it's just another layer of stuff us as fantasy owners need to worry about. Like, I keep telling myself, act like there's a league. Now we know there's a draft, which is what we're going to get to next. The draft is going to happen on time. Just act like there's going to be a season. Act like there's going to be a season. Don't try and be like, what are we going to do if this person misses a year? Don't put that in your head, because who knows? And I try and live my life as a human being and not worrying about things until there's something to worry about. So I'm trying to instill that as a dynasty owner as well. So just reading that really threw me for a loop. But let's now move on to what I was saying. The NFL has come out and said the NFL draft will happen as scheduled, which is fantastic, and it's going to be virtual. Now, my favorite part of this has been the stream of who's going to be the first idiot GM to accidentally hit share screen and show their draft board. Who's going to be the first to time out because they don't know how to get their networking. Dave Gettleman is the easy answer for all of these. No, wait, guys, we have to pause the draft. Dave Gettleman lost his internet connection again. Just unplug it and plug it back in, Dave.
Hey, you know what they should do? They should just let Saquon do the draft.
You had to get Saquon in there somehow. You had to.
It was going to happen eventually. You had to do it now where it doesn't even really fit.
I thought you'd be like, what do you mean it doesn't fit?
He's so superhuman that he can't, you know, he's immune to all diseases, so he can handle everything. And he has his own personal Wi-Fi that, you know, it'll never disconnect because he's superhuman. Heart machine,
something like that.
You see, you didn't even have something, you just threw it in there. No, I was trying to help you out. You could have just been like, yeah, but no,
yeah,
convinced. I'm convinced. Good. I forgot what Matthew Berry said. I think he tweeted out the one that was like, who's gonna be the first person to like time out because their internet connection, or no, who's gonna be the first person to like try and draft Jerry Jeudy in the fifth because they weren't updating their own draft boards. To which I said, I have a league. It's one of my two. It's one of my two keeper leagues, one of my two home leagues, where if you twice call someone who's been drafted already, we automatically just give you a kicker.
Ooh.
I think that would work perfectly in the NFL, except like if it's past the second round, the Raiders will get Raiders and Bucks will get disappointed that they had to wait so long.
That's pretty good right there. Oh my. Whew. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting draft. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this is unprecedented look, we're all dealing with this thing and we're not going to talk about it a lot. But we're all dealing with this thing, right? It's all new to everybody. Nobody's ever experienced anything like this. So the NFL is adapting a little bit. Not as much as some of the other leagues. Not as much as maybe they could have in terms of postponing or whatever. I'm personally glad they're not. It gives me something to do. But, in the grand scheme of important things in the world, they could have postponed. But it's going to be interesting to watch. It's literally going to be like you're watching a fantasy football draft, except these guys are really going to go to these teams eventually. The thing I'm going to miss the most is the Goodell bear hug. I mean, what's he going to do? I mean, these guys are they going to even show them? They're not even going to show them, right?
I mean, the guys will probably live stream themselves, right?
You think?
There's got to be some way to do it. Like, I don't want like a stream of Jerry Jones reacting to his own draft pick and not see the kid. I mean,
that was my thing. Is are we going to be able to see their reactions? Because that's always a big thing, you know, too, where they've worked their whole life, you know, to get to this point. So it kind of sucks that, you know, they're not getting the full experience, but at least they're getting something still. But it's going to be interesting to see their reaction still. And that's what I want to see. But like, how is that going to work? You know, because obviously the NFL can't send their people in to set this stuff up because of the whole social distancing thing. So they've got to kind of do it on their own, which a lot of these younger kids are probably, you know, savvy enough that they can set it up. But it's still going to be interesting to see how that's even handled. If it even does happen, if they're streaming, you know, their reactions. To the NFL organizations and stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm sure they don't live alone, right? So there's got to be a family member, like, mean, I have no idea. Like, these, they're like 18. They're not 18. They're like, they're 2021. Maybe they still live at home. There's got to be a family member that they're stuck in the house with and holds an iPhone up, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll be like Facebook Live, and like they're gonna go live, but it's just like, is that gonna be not? How do I say this? Is it? Are we gonna see their reaction 3 minutes later once ESPN's able to get the permission per se, yeah, or whoever, and you know what I mean, and then see it on live TV, which then it's not live per se, but be on the internet, like you said, they're gonna have a family member, they're gonna have someone. It'll be Facebook Live. It'll be on Twitter, Instagram. It's gonna be out there. It's just a matter of when does it make its way to TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I'm here for it because, I mean, it's something different. Let's face it. I mean, what's the most recent change we've had to the draft? The primetime thing where they split it up a little more, and it's Thursday, yeah, Friday, Saturday instead, yep, of just, what was it, 2 days before, like in the middle of the week or something. I mean, that's really about it. So it's, I mean, and what's to say if this goes well, that this doesn't get adapted into whatever's the future. But no, we're skipping over the question I had. Goodell knew, like, he had a couple of handshakes down every single year. Like, does he meet up, yeah, with these kids and they work a handshake out? I was always curious about that. The first few guys, like in that first round, it's not just like a hug and a, you know, back clap kind of thing. Like, I think Goodell goes like back in the green room and he's like, make me look hip, kids. How do we do this?
He might,
and there's a handshake.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know because, I don't know. That's my answer. I don't know, to be honest.
All right, so we went from Disney, but now we went to football. But let's actually get to some fantasy football, right? Because, man, I don't even know what the hell we're talking about anymore. Whew. So, what do you want to do, Stoops? Do you want to do some trades first? Do you want to do some listener questions first?
I'd say let's get the trades knocked out. Let's do the trades. That's what I want to do.
All right, cool. Trade Addicts Trades, Brian.
Trade Addicts Trades.
Trade Addicts Leagues. 12-team, super flex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 point per reception. And all but Trade Addicts 1 has 0.05 points per return yard. We actually have a Trade Addicts 1 trade. So this is the fun story behind this Trade Addicts 1 trade. On Saturday, I think it was, Russ got very, very drunk, and Russ put out in all of his team chat, league chats, very drunk, send offers. I get an offer. I accept it. I post on Twitter, drunk trade, and I put a poll out. Right away, everyone's like, see, this is why drunk trades are stupid. You're an idiot. Why would you do this? The trade was DJ Moore for the 107 and the 202. This is why drunk trades are stupid. Why would you trade DJ Moore away for that? Why don't you stop being a dick? I got DJ Moore. Oh, well, drunk trades are still stupid. First of all, drunk trades are not stupid. They are fun. Second of all, it doesn't matter if you make a bad trade. You can always fix trades. You might as well have fun while you're doing it. But let's actually talk about this. DJ Moore for the one.
Can I stop you for just a second? Because I want to touch on what you just said real quick before we actually get into the trade. Okay. And this is more of a big picture philosophy type thing. Okay. And mm-hmm. I've made a couple posts on Twitter about this. You can think drunk trading is dumb. That's fine. Okay. I mean, whatever. That's fine. If you think it's dumb, or if you think trading too much is dumb, or trading for the sake of trading, that's a big one that everybody bitches about, right? Trading for the sake of trading. Okay. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm going to play the game how I want to play the game. If I want to send drunk trades to all my league mates, or if I want to put a post out that says, send me some drunk trades, this is why drunk trades are stupid. Well, guess what? It's not your team, so shut your mouth. It's my team, and I'm going to do what I want with my team that I'm paying money for to play in a league. There's no collusion. If there's no collusion, shut up.
I was going to say, brother. I don't even think I need to say anything. You said it. It's his team, our team, your team, my team. We do what we want to do with it.
That was Brian's mic drop moment.
Yeah.
So, like, I legitimately just replied to a guy, and I'm like, don't got to be a dick about it. Plus, the drunk guy got DJ Moore, and his reply was, well, drunk trades lead to drunk tweet replies. To which I almost said, sorry, you're an angry drunk. I almost like, but I'm like, let me just step it. Let's just end this and move on. But okay. Let's actually get to the trade, Stoops. DJ Moore for the 107 and the 202.
So for me, honestly, like my initial reaction would not have been that it's a terrible trade. Like I, because obviously with me being, you know, deeper into the Devy and a lot of where we're at now, people know the prospects and they especially know the top end ones. I think this class is deep enough that you can get, or you got the DJ Moore side, but I think the 107, 202 side can warrant enough talent, as long, obviously, landing spot dependent and everything, but so on. I think it's a pretty even trade, if I do say so myself. I wouldn't be, you know, thinking, oh my God, that's such a terrible trade. Why would anybody do it? And for me, you know, with the Carolina, the thing going on, obviously they've got some coaches coming in that are just heavy on the offense, right? So it's kind of expected to be a high powered offense. Personally, I don't, you know, Teddy had his moments, Teddy Bridgewater had his moments, but I'm not completely sold on him personally. Mm-hmm. And then obviously having DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Curtis Samuel there with McCaffrey coming out of the backfield, it's kind of one of those where how many shares can they really spread around, I guess, is what it's going to be. Obviously, DJ Moore is the number one receiver there. So to me, it's a pretty even trade. And especially if whoever got the 107, 202 is, you know, not even so much in a full rebuild necessarily, but if they're kind of not at that point to where mm-hmm. they, you know, they want to add the depth of younger talent, then by all means, take those picks. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I'll let you go right after this, Brian. I'm going to throw a little bit of some perspective. What a horrible sentence that was. The dude I did this trade with, is his team came in, I don't remember if he made the playoffs or he was the team that just missed it. He, from the startup, which at this point I think was two, three years ago, I can't even remember anymore, drafted youth, traded for picks on picks on picks, and he like just missed the playoffs, and now he has, I want to say, 5 or 6 first round picks and still has 4 next year. Like, this dude's team is going to be insane, and not in that many years. Like, next year he's making the playoffs easy and will probably have a contender. He's building the way, like, when you think about starting a dynasty team, like before you ever join one, like that's what you think about, and that's how he did it, and it's going to be great. I just like wide receivers, and that's just what I do. So I mean, I have Keenan, Odell, DJ Moore, Sutton. Like, I just, you know, he builds his teams his way, he builds teams my way. But real quick, I've pulled up DLF Superflex rookie ADP. First of all, Justin Herbert's going 9th in April ADP, which to me sounds crazy late. So we're going to change that a little bit, and I'm going to throw him before the 7th pick, which puts, right now, the 7th pick is Cam Akers. But if you throw Herbert in front of that, he's getting J.K. Dobbins at the 7, which is amazing. I mean, he's getting his choice between Dobbins, Akers, Jerry Jeudy. And if you go down a little bit, what did I say? The 202, so 12, 13, 14, 15th pick, Denzel Mims, Jordan Love, T. Higgins. I mean, again, like, we think DJ Moore should be worth like the 102 and 103 when we're talking about draft picks. But listen to Stoops. Stoops knows what he's talking about. This class is very, very good. I mean, especially in a super flex league where there's going to be 3 quarterbacks taken in the first round of rookie dynasty drafts. That's the words. That's going to push all that real talent, that, you know, the other offensive position talents down. Yeah, people stop being angry. Brian, talk.
Well, and no, I'm not trying to interrupt Brian at all, but it's one of those where I know, but your point where it's just like, because obviously we knew for the longest time these first rounds, the 2021st, were expensive, right? They were super expensive. So through the whole process of that, so many people were saying, get the second rounds, get the second round picks, because the class is so deep, there's so much talent. So even him, you know, getting a 202, that's still, granted, it's an early second. Obviously, that's always going to be a good one. But even especially in this class, like, that's a heck of a pick to get. So, all right, yep. Brian, go. Done.
So a couple things. First of all, I think the class is going to save the other guy here, Mm-hmm. From I mean, in a normal year, I don't think this is even remotely close.
Oh yeah, if this was last year, that'd be awful.
Yeah, this class is pretty special and very deep. You know, so some of the names that you're talking about, you know, an Akers or a Dobbins plus a Justin Jefferson or a T. Higgins. I mean, that's a hell of a combo. Okay, so I agree with the points made on that side of things. And I think because of that, the trade isn't as lopsided as it may look to someone like me, because when I first saw this, I was like, holy shit. Right. Cause DJ Moore to me is absolutely worth more than what the 107 and 202 typically is mm-hmm. worth. Okay. And here's the thing about DJ Moore that is so freaking scary. Right. So the dude was the wide receiver 13 last year. So borderline wide receiver one. Okay. With Kyle Allen. Okay. And no touchdowns. He scored four touchdowns. He was the wide receiver 13 with four touchdowns. If this dude doubles his touchdown total, he's like top seven. I mean, okay. First of all, the catches and the yards should increase with Teddy Bridgewater. I think that mm-hmm. that's my opinion, but I believe that will happen. So the yardage and the catch numbers are going to increase. And again, in my opinion, and if he scores a couple more touchdowns, he doesn't even have to score double digits. He scores a couple more. You're talking about a top seven receiver. So, you know, does Dobbins have the upside to be a running back one? I personally think he does. Maybe not a top six running back. I mean, I think he's more towards the end of running back one range, or his potential is. And then does that receiver have, you know, whether it's Higgins or whether it's Jefferson? I think Jefferson actually does too. I think he's kind of underrated, to be honest with you. He's one of my favorites in that group of receivers. You know, but do those guys have the potential of being wide receiver ones and then top half wide receiver ones? I don't know. I think DJ Moore absolutely does, and I think he'll hit that as soon as next season, assuming health. So that's the thing for me that I think when we talk about DJ Moore, I think there's a lot of people that are like, and then there's a lot of people that are like, holy crap, this dude might be the next big thing. And I'm kind of more in that range. I think he, you know, his numbers, like his combine numbers and stuff coming out, he and Chris Godwin were almost identical. In terms of their numbers, their testing numbers. So, you know, now Godwin's a little bit bigger than DJ Moore is. You know, he's a bigger frame. But, you know, I think DJ Moore absolutely has the potential to be a top six or seven wide receiver in the league again as soon as this coming season. So for that reason, I think I would go with, you know, again, over 80 catches this year, 1,175 yards and four touchdowns in his sophomore season. You know, he's already broken out. He's no third year breakout for this kid. He's already broken out, and he's going into year three with a better quarterback than he had last year, where he produced almost a wide receiver one season. So I think there are big, big things ahead for DJ Moore. So I like that side personally.
It's funny. The only reason I wish I didn't do this was because this guy's been after this pick for like a year now, and I could have gotten, like, if I just held on to it until like right before the draft, I could have gotten so much more. DJ more. But I mean, I don't have patience for that in the first place, no less me after, you know, man, I drank way too much. But I saw that, I'm like, yeah, I'm taking that, except I mean, I'm not upset because there was a good trade, but it was almost one of those things where I was just saying no to him just because I know how badly he wanted it, and it kind of made me laugh, and he knew why I was saying no half the time. It was fun. But yeah, don't be a dick. Knock it off. Jesus. So let's move on to Trade Addicts 3. So this one's going to sound a little familiar to one of the guys in here. Kyler Murray and Christian Kirk for Carson Wentz, the best running back in the world, Jerick McKinnon, Deontay Johnson, and the 109. Now, let me read that again in English without little embellishment. Kyler Murray, Christian Kirk for Carson Wentz, Jerick McKinnon, Deontay Johnson, and the 109. Now, this sounds familiar because Mr. Stoops did this trade. So let's start with Brian. How do you feel about this one?
I feel upset because I was after Carson Wentz in TA3. So No, I'm just kidding. I'm not upset. I like this trade. I like this trade. So here's the thing, too. I know Stoops. I know Stoops really well. So I know how he feels about Christian Kirk. So I think he really, really likes this trade.
I tried so long to get Stoops to overpay for Christian Kirk and finally got upset and traded him away. And then someone else gets to, you know, get him to buy him.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this deal. I mean, I think this is a good looking deal. And I could probably be swayed either way here. As somebody who has just acquired Kyler Murray in a super flex league, a Trade Addicts league, actually, I like acquiring him. He may be slightly overvalued right now. Just, you know, slotting into that QB3 spot in a lot of places. You know, I don't know that I have him quite that high, but I do think I have him ahead of Carson Wentz, and I like Carson Wentz a lot. I'm a huge Carson Wentz fan. I mean, Chris knows. Last week we were on the happy hour, the Trade Addicts 3 happy hour, and I was coming after Wentz. I mean, I sent him an offer for Wentz, and we had a few discussions there. So, but yeah, I think the thing here is so how Stoops feels about Christian Kirk pushes him to go ahead and do this deal. There's no doubt about it. I like Christian Kirk as well. I'm a little bit concerned just until I see how they use all of those guys, right? Because Nuke coming in obviously changes some things. You know, Fitzgerald is still going to be your slot guy. And then Kirk is likely on the outside on the other side. Now, he may benefit from this because he's not going to be going up against team's number one corners. I mean, it's going to be Nuke. So Kirk running free, you know, in the secondaries against number two corners, I like that. I mean, I think that's a you know, and Kyler has the arm and the that offense is really exciting and it's wide open. So I mean, there's going to be a lot of opportunity, I think, for Christian Kirk. I mean, for all the weapons in that offense, including Christian Kirk. So I like that. The other side of it, I like as well, though. And I think, you know, so I love Carson Wentz. I like Deontay Johnson. We'll have to see how he plays with Ben, you know, coming back off the elbow injury and whether or not, you know, Ben has the chemistry with him or does it go back to Juju season, you know? Hopefully it's both. I mean, I'd like to see both those guys succeed for my team, but I do like Deontay Johnson a lot, and the 109 is a great piece. There was another piece in there too, and I'm not looking at it right now. McKinnon. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. No, there wasn't another piece in that deal. So, so yeah, I mean, I think this is a good trade. I think it's pretty darn close from a value standpoint. I really like it. It looks like a really good one to me.
No, I mean, let's talk about this for a second. Wentz and the 109 for Kyler. I mean, to me, that makes sense.
Yeah, I would say there's a little bit more value on the Wentz side from just with those two assets.
But I think it's what you have, at least what you have to pay for.
Yeah.
To get Kyler. And then Deontay Johnson has rising value right now. Mm-hmm. And Kirk has a little bit of sinking value because of the DeAndre Hopkins signing, which means you probably can just swap them, in which case, free Jerick McKinnon. So I mean,
yeah, I'm just gonna try to bring up ADP here. I want to see where they are compared to each other because I do think Christian Kirk has a little bit more value still than Deontay Johnson.
No, so to me, value wise, this is absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And then put on top of it the most valuable, I don't want to say the best player in this deal is Kyler Murray, and he got his guy. So I mean, to you, easily you won this trade.
Yeah. The way many of the trades go, especially in that league, is an offer is sent. You kind of think about it. You counter. You know, you kind of go back and forth. You have your discussions, and that's exactly what happened with this one. It was an initial offer was sent, and he mentioned it actually in the happy hour, you know, meetup that we had, where he kind of, I didn't know if he was jokingly saying it, but how he was saying, "Hey, Kyler's, you know, on the block," kind of thing. And I was like, well, okay, cool. And then I kind of went other ways and didn't really think much of it. And then I got the offer one day. So I was like, oh, he was serious. So it kind of went back and forth. And then, you know, again, I don't remember what the original offer was, but he sent it over. I countered with something. And then I remember last week how y'all were talking about, you know, if a third round pick, for example, is the throw in piece to get a deal done, that's essentially what he was just like, well, would you add McKinnon? You know, would you do Wentz, McKinnon, Johnson, and the 109? And I'm kind of thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? To me, that's a throw-in piece. And I said, absolutely. Because, again, I've been a Kirk fan, obviously. I've got the A&M bias there, but I do believe in Kirk still. And I remember when he was coming out, I kept saying that, right? I'm like, you know, watch out for Kirk, watch out for Kirk. Mm-hmm. And everyone kept telling me, no, that's your A&M bias coming out. Now, again, with Hopkins coming in, yes, I that's a concern of mine. But I think, you know, with Fitzgerald – we always say this, right? You know, it's his last year. It's his last year. We don't know anymore. We don't know when his last year is. But, and I, it's funny. I was not a Kyler believer last year at all. I was just like, this guy's going to be a bust. I don't like him. Don't want him. And then I watched him and I said, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, guys. I want him. So that's my first share of Kyler. And I finally got Christian Kirk back. And I like the stack. So it was my Kirk love. And then it was the Kyler Christian Kirk stack, essentially kind of double points there. Not quite double, you know, it's the stack on it. So that was a big reason too for me. So yeah, I felt the value was pretty fair, you know, right off the get go. And then again, a couple tweaks here and there. And then, you know, of course I couldn't go to the TA3 chat. I couldn't do it. I had to go to a different one to ask for some opinions, and they were telling me kind of what I was thinking as well. So I'm glad we got the deal done though.
Before you come in with the ADP, hold on. In case we were talking about Jerick McKinnon's value, you said, like, you know, just throwing a third, just throwing Jerick McKinnon in trade addict six. I traded for Jerick McKinnon. I traded a 2022 fourth for Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. So, yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Okay, so first of all, I rolled my eyes at you because I thought you were going to tell me that Jerick McKinnon was the most valuable piece in the trade, which would have been such a Russ move. I would have laughed and loved that, but that's why I rolled my eyes. So Christian Kirk, 78th, an average ADP of 78, and Deontay Johnson is 114 right now.
Wow.
Yeah,
is that March or April?
That is a good question. And I just clicked off of it. It is March. That's March.
Okay. I think that'll definitely be closer together coming from.
I do too.
Okay. That's a lot of. Well, we're going to move on to some listener questions. Let's break it up a little bit. Look, here we go. Since one just popped up onto the screen, at Eitan Alive, the man with the rebranding, Eitan Mosia. What traits in a prospect are you most interested in from a fantasy standpoint? What commonly cited traits do you believe are noise? So, and this is perfect with our Devi guy on here. So, what translates, I guess, quickly into a football standpoint, but then like spin it on to which actually matters to you for fantasy?
So, when I'm able to, because a lot of times it's hard to find some film on some guys, but I know with like Dynasty Nerds, they've got the film room over there. So, obviously, you've got some college guys you can go look at. But, you know, if I'm looking at a quarterback, for me, a big thing is obviously size, you know, and again, that's why I wasn't so high on Kyler, right? He's not very tall, not very heavy on the weight aspect of it. He's just kind of your, what you would call, I guess, an average guy, right? So that's why I wasn't as high on him. So I like someone like a Justin Herbert, who's got some height to him. He's got some weight. So as far as quarterbacks go, I definitely like size. Arm strength is a big thing. And what I mean by that is more so like even on those short intermediate routes, they're able to get the ball in quick. It may not be, you know, as well on the deep ball aspect. That's awesome. But to me, if you can get those short intermediate routes in there and get the ball in quick, I like seeing that. Receivers, obviously speed, 50-50 balls is big with me. I like seeing that. Running backs, agility. I mean, if they're able to make people miss, and not even so much like a, you know, just like a super agile, like a Reggie Bush style, like in college, it was awesome. He made it work in the pros, right? He made it work for a little while, but to me, he was definitely more of that agile, just trying to make people miss. He wasn't going to necessarily run you over. Tight ends, I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. When it comes to tight ends at the college level, there's a couple I like, but I don't go that in depth with tight ends. I mean, there's a couple, I guess you could say, but with tight ends, it's just being big. That's kind of my thing, is if they're a big guy, but yeah, from I'm more of a wide receiver guy myself. I like the wide receivers. That's really where I try and, you know, focus on things and seeing separation, if they're able to create that separation, because especially at the NFL level, those corners, they're feisty. You know, they're going to stay on you. They're not going to let you create that separation. And so you got to have those little, you know, aspects to your game to create the separation, good footwork. There's a lot that goes into it, you know, that I like, but I would say those are kind of just some of the quick off the top of my head, you know, things that I really start to look at when I'm evaluating a prospect on where I would like them.
I love how almost every single dev you got to be like, this is what I love about quarterbacks. This is wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. whatever. All right. Yeah.
I will say this, and I'm not going to go too far off it, but like Keithy out of Utah, he was a running back, played running back in high school. He was a receiver, a tight end, like a Brant Keithy. He's kind of a do-it-all tight end. So that's pretty awesome. But other than that, tight ends are tight ends, to be honest with you. Anyway, go ahead.
Anything you got, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I think Chris hit a lot of the ones that I look at too. I mean, the one thing I'd say that I don't think I heard him mention was, so for me, when I look at running backs, I want guys that finish. I want guys that finish runs. I don't want a guy that, you know, is going backwards at the end of the run. I want a guy who's falling forward every single time he's getting tackled. You know, and a guy who isn't afraid to put his shoulder down and not in a stupid, careless way, but, you know, in a way where if you need that extra yard to get the first down and keep a drive alive, that guy's willing to do that. So that's something that I look for in players, in running backs. Receivers, it's contested catches. That's the big one for me. And Chris actually said what he said after he said 50-50 balls is he said separation. And I think that's obviously important. I think if you can separate at the collegiate level, then you give yourself a chance to be productive separating and running routes in the pros. The difference is if you can catch those contested passes, it's a little bit of a buffer for separation. Correct. Yeah. So and then tight end wise, I would say the only for me, I look for athletic guys. I mean, and that's what kind of what Chris you're saying about the kid out of Utah. It's, you know, he was a running back previously. He's an athlete, right? And that's what I look for. I look for more than anything is just are these guys able to move? Are they able to adjust their bodies and, you know, when the ball's in the air, and are they able to get up the seam, you know, and catch balls up the middle? That's kind of what I look for. But other than that, yeah, Chris, I mean, he covered them. That's right on the nose.
Is there anything that is widely talked about or widely used in places that you think is noise that you think isn't as important as everyone else seems it is?
40 time.
Yeah, I honestly think the answer. I really do think that, like, for example, with me, like, cause we always talk about it. Antonio Gandy-Golden, right? Everyone's talking about, well, he's not that fast. But to me, he may not have a quick 40 time, may not be the quick guy. He's not going to burn you. He's going to be quick enough and he's going to do what he needs to do it on the field. And that's just it. There's a difference in a 40 time and like field time, right? Game speed. It's different. Because it comes down to that separation. It comes down to those little things that they're able to throw into their game. So yeah, I think 40 time is overrated. Now that being said, if you expect a guy to come in and at least run, let's call it a 4.48 or 4.5, whatever, but they run like a 4.67, like, all right, now what's going on? So I think it's overvalued, it's overrated, but at the same time, there is some value to be seen in it if it's a slower time than what you'd really expect.
You judge on tiers, not on like hundredths of a second.
Correct.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I love how there's still people like making fun of DK's Metcalf's three cone. It's just like, all right, time to get over it. I mean, and while we're making fun of DK Metcalf, Devin Singletary is still running his 40.
Hey, just for clarity, I am not making fun of DK Metcalf. If there's any possible chance that he hears this and thinks people are making fun of him, DK, I am not making fun of you. I know you will whip my ass. I don't want that to happen.
It was on Twitter. It was, I think, one of the Barstool guys. And then DK actually quote tweeted it and says and made some joke about this guy not having a professional career or something like that. It was a terrible joke in the first place, and then just DK saw it because he tagged him because
why not?
The guy's an a-hole in the first place. But yeah, don't tag players. God,
I know it's your favorite thing. You do it all the time. Just kidding. No, he doesn't.
I don't.
I've never seen you do it. So
I literally once ever tagged a player in my history of Twitter, and it was Justin Tucker. And because it wasn't even for me, it was for my friend who does not have Twitter, and it was the I don't, it was the playoffs, fantasy playoffs, definitely. And he needed some points. And I'm just like, I'll do this for you, buddy. And I tweeted at him for it. And that was the only time I ever have. I will never again. It's just, I don't need players to know I exist. It's terrifying. Okay. Here we go. At FL2 drink minimum. What are you?
Sorry. Just gave a little two drink.
Okay. What are you comfortable accepting to move on from the free agent quarterbacks these days? For example, Cam, Jameis, Dalton, or what are you willing to pay to acquire them? I personally have not done any trades with any of these guys. So let's start the easy question. Have either of you done any trades with any of these quarterbacks?
I've had offers for Cam Newton.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I've got no. I don't own any of them, so I haven't.
Have, without calling anybody out, like, what kind of offers have you been getting?
A mid second
for Cam Newton.
Yeah,
decline. You wouldn't send. You no. decline that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because here's the thing. So that's, this is a great question, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think when you're in super flex leagues, you're looking for, you know, you're looking for opportunities to buy quarterbacks, right? I mean, at a cheaper price than what they typically cost. But it depends on your league mates. But for me, like, the second Cam Newton lands a starting job, which he's going to land, it's just going to happen. I don't know where it's going to happen, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen before the 2020 season. And when he does, he's immediately worth a first-round pick, period. So why would I sell him right now for a mid-second when I can just sit on him when he's not playing football and not earning or losing me any points, and then sell him for a late first once he signs and is a starter?
Yeah, I guess I can see that. But I mean, so I pulled up the ADP that I luckily still had open. I mean, you're two picks too late to grab Jordan Love, but a pick or two early for grabbing Jalen Hurts. So you have your chance of getting a young quarterback at that time, at that pick that you would be getting for Cam Newton. That's the word. Just read around it.
Okay, let me say something real
Jordan
quick.
Love, Louis Cushenall, AJ Dillon, Jalen Hurts, Brian Edwards, Keyshawn Vaughn, Zach Moss, Brandon Ayuk, Michael Pittman.
Yeah. Cam Newton in Superflex. I mean, you're hoping that Jalen Hurts turns into Cam Newton, right?
Yeah, but you're also hoping that Jalen Hurts turns into Cam Newton, not as a 30-year-old super hurt guy.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you're putting a lot of faith in Cam Newton getting over a really bad shoulder injury and really bad foot injury.
I am.
When I saw it, the first thing that popped into my head was no one's going to give you a first round for those guys, right? So then I kind of went, and I even went on to the first time I've done it. I got the subscription to DLF, you know, I went onto the trade analyzer thing and looked at all that and got the values for the guys. Like with the 201, that had a 180.3, which isn't even to what Cam or even Jameis's value is. But when you look at it, obviously, if someone came to me personally and gave me an early to mid second, I would probably move on. Obviously, I don't think anybody would even remotely give you that for Dalton. I don't think that's even in the ballpark. No. But like for a Jameis is the tough one for me, to be completely honest with you. Even with what he did last year through what? It was like a 1-to-1 interception to touchdown ratio almost.
Literally,
he was still one of, fantasy point wise, he was still one of the top quarterbacks, you know? So that one's a little tough for me, but I think I would probably still move on if I got that offer personally. Now, I don't know what your quarterback situation is in that league, but again, you know, let's say I've got four quarterbacks on my roster, right? And that's all I have. I probably would decline. I'd rather just wait it out and have a true quarterback on my team as opposed to maybe getting one in the second round, you know, that I liked, or have to try and figure something else out to move up even more. So it's interesting to look at, but, personally, I think if I was able to get an early to mid second, I would consider it given my roster configuration, which I know is always a cop out answer, right? You know,
yeah.
My roster in that league is Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Cam is my third quarterback.
Wow, that's like the outhouse special right there.
Yeah. Here's out of curiosity, where do you guys think Cam finished? So last year it was the injured season, right? Almost a lost season, essentially. Where do you think he finished in terms of quarterback rankings in 18?
I mean, probably somewhere in the 10 to 14 range.
That would have been my guess.
10.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was 10. So, I mean, now that was post one injury and pre a worse injury and another injury. So the injury point is valid, right? I just think that he's the type of player that if he returns, it's kind of like, this isn't a really good comparison right now, but like Ben Roethlisberger, if he plays a full 16 games, if he plays 14 games, because he doesn't never play 16. If he plays 13 or 14 games, like usually does, he's going to offer a lot of value in Superflex this year, likely. Right. Yeah. Okay. And I think Cam Newton at 30 years old, not 37 like Ben, but at 30 years old, he's probably still got 5 years left in the league, I'd imagine. I know his style's different. I know he takes hits and all of that. But I mean, we're talking about a guy that was almost the MVP. He was the MVP, wasn't he? The year that they were in the Super Bowl, was he the MVP or is almost? No, MVP?
Probably. But
I think he was the MVP that year. But I don't know. I just, for me, and he's different than the other ones mentioned. So Andy Dalton, I would probably take a mid-second for.
Yeah.
Easily. You know?
Okay. I'm going to try and word this that makes sense. One-to-one is always tough because you are really just saying, like you said before, I'm hoping to get someone that turns into what Cam Newton is. What if someone sent you a package to upgrade your wide receiver position where Cam Newton's value in that trade was around like the 2.5? Would you accept sending Cam Newton where he held that value in a trade? Not necessarily a one for one, but to complete the value between that lower wide receiver you're being offered and the wide receiver, like Stephon Diggs and Cam Newton for that doesn't work. Diggs and Newton for like Godwin. I mean, that's more than the 2.5 gap, but like something along those lines.
Yes, I would do it then. But it would be, but it has to be, it would have to be significantly upgrading another position for me.
Okay, but
and not significantly like three rounds of value, but like it would have to be something where I felt like, okay, this makes me a lot better.
Okay, cool.
Because yeah. Quarterbacks in Superflex leagues, dude. I mean, that's what it is for me. It's just they just hold so much value. So, I mean, if you're trading one away, you better be getting some value out. I mean, you better be getting the value that you feel like they're worth or can be worth, you know, or else it for me, it doesn't make sense to move them. That's just me. But
okay. So while we're talking about trading away quarterbacks, now we're going to move on because we're actually been recording for an hour already, which is insane. And we have a whole lot of stuff on the sheet that I want to get to. So let's pivot that to a Trade Addicts trade where in Trade Addicts 6, Teddy Bridgewater and Kenyon Drake for Nick Chubb and the 208. So this is one of those lower tier quarterbacks being packaged with a lower running back to upgrade to a better running back. So I'll read it again. Nick Chubb and the 208 for Teddy Bridgewater and Kenyon Drake. How do you feel about that, Brian?
So I would probably take, I think I like the Nick Chubb side.
But you are a very big Nick Chubb fan. Always
a big Nick Chubb guy, and I'm not a very big, I haven't been a very big Kenyon Drake guy. Now, I will say the Kenyon Drake that we saw the second half of the season last year once he was in Arizona was a different player. I mean, he looked like he fit that offensive scheme.
Seems like getting away from Adam Gase is just a good thing for people.
Exactly. Exactly. And I do like Teddy. I mean, I think, you know,
he'll be a good QB2 for your Superflex team.
Yeah, I think he's a lower end QB2, but yeah, he's a
serviceable QB2.
Serviceable QB2. Absolutely. Yep. So, but personally, I mean, I think I would take Nick Chubb here just because I'm very high on Chubb. I still think he's, you know, an outstanding talent. And then again, that 208, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're looking at, I don't know. There's what? Players there. Stoops, tell me who I'm looking at the 208.
LaVisca Chenault, AJ Dillon, Jalen Hurts, Brian Edwards, Keyshawn.
There Vaughn, you go. Zach Vaughn. Yeah. So I would do it there. I would do that. Yep. I would do that for Chubb.
Yeah, no, I'm on the Chubb side as well. I've kind of, as I said earlier, Bridgewater, I'm still kind of on the fence about. I'm not sure how, you know, he'll be. I mean, I will say this, you know, when he had his chances, he did look good. And like you said, he'll be a serviceable QB2 for your roster. He's not going to be the, you know, the number one guy out there, best player on your roster per se. But
won't
I
won't lose you a week.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think he's gonna be able to come in and do what he needs to do. If Kenyon Drake, you know, continues on what he was building on last year. And like you said, that Arizona offense, it's going to be a high powered offense. He's going to have his opportunities, especially now that they've obviously got rid of, you know, David Johnson. Like, he's going to be the guy there. So I see the value on that side of it, especially having the value to a quarterback. So I could see the value on either side, but I think I'm leaning the Chubb.
Yeah, I think value wise, I lean the Chubb side, but anytime you can get a quarterback without giving up one, I think mm-hmm. is great for your super flex team. And it comes down to what always that doesn't work here. It comes down to what you think about Kenyon Drake. We really do seem to be crowning him already. We're acting like they are not drafting a running back. Like, it is just going to be the Kenyon Drake show with Chase Edmonds spelling him. And that Kenyon Drake is going to be that like 20 something point a game, like he ended up being at the end of the last year. I mean, maybe that was just like a jolt of energy from getting out of Adam Gase and mm-hmm. being in a high powered offense. We don't really know. But I feel like as a community, we're really just like diving all in on Kenyon Drake. And yeah, this might work out just fine. And if whoever traded for him believes that it will work out for Kenyon Drake, then this is a good trade. Because again, like Brian's been saying for the past 20 minutes, quarterbacks are super important. Even guys without QB1 upside, you need quarterback twos in a 12-team Superflex league.
You do. So. And what I was going to say earlier, just real quick, is the quarterback. I learned that real quick, right? You know, getting into a Superflex league, I learned that real quick, especially in that the TA3 where I felt comfortable at the quarterback, and I was like, oh, I'll make this move elsewhere. And then Big Ben got hurt, and then mm-hmm. someone else got hurt. I don't remember who it was, but basically the injuries, that's what really started to hurt me. So even if I was to have a Bridgewater in the situation he's in now, obviously not necessarily last year. Well, when Breeze went down, I guess, but you know what I mean? So it's one of those where having those quarterbacks, it's key. You've got to have to fill the bye weeks and obviously any type of injuries to help fill that.
Yeah. And if you ever feel safe at quarterback, last year I went into a league feeling awesome with Luck, Cam, and Roethlisberger.
Ah.
So yeah, I ended up with zero quarterbacks. And this year, well, last year I finished with two starting quarterbacks. And in 1 week, I ended up with zero starting quarterbacks because those two quarterbacks were Trubisky and Jameis.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so having quarterbacks is very, very important. But now I just figured that was a good segue because we're talking about trading quarterbacks to upgrade. But we're going to go back to another listener question at Real Fantasy TL, our homeboy Josh. Who are some late round rookie sleepers that you are high on? And he specifies 14 plus team league that's a 4-6 round rookie draft. Like, who are some guys that you think will go in those round 4-6 that, I mean, clearly won't be wide receiver ones or anything, but, right. You know, could be helpful to your fantasy team.
Yeah, so I'll be honest, I'm in 0-14 team leagues. I'm in 12, you know, league 12 team leagues, mm-hmm. and I'm in 110 team. But so as far as 14 team goes, I haven't seen those, but kind of just looking at, you know, the 2020 rankings for those rookies, I kind of went down to the bottom, and some of the top names that came out that I personally like, there's a DJ Dallas. He's running back out of Miami. I like him a lot. He's got some good speed too, a good physicality. Antonio Gibson, I think, is going to be one of those guys. He's out of Memphis. He's they list him, I think, at a wide receiver, but he played the running back position. He was kind of that Swiss Army knife, right? You could use him wherever you wanted to. He's got good hands. He's quick. I think Antonio Gibson's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. And of course, I have to talk about Courtney Davis out of A&M. I don't like him as much as I liked Kirk. So I will say that I was much, much higher on Kirk when he came out. But Courtney Davis, he's got good hands. He's got amazing footwork. He's able to make people miss basically off the line. So that's going to be a big, big thing for him. And then if you're in a tight end premium league, as we are, you know, with Trade Addicts, Adam Trautman out of Dayton. He's a big athletic guy as well. But that's truthfully only in your tight end premium style leagues. But even in a non-tight end premium, he might be, you know, in a later round. And again, without knowing the league mates, because some of these guys I mentioned, for example, someone with Antonio Gibson or even DJ Dallas, I know there's people who are higher on them, so they might take them in that late second, early, the mid third round range. So they might not fall into those later round categories. Patrick Taylor out of Memphis, he's like 6'2", I think like 220. So he's got some big, big size to him, but he's real physical, another running back. So those are just some names with obviously without going down a huge list and, you know, going onward with it. But those are some guys that I think could potentially fall into those later rounds, especially once we see landing spots. I think it's going to probably push some of these other guys down. So,
man, Stoops, I haven't heard somebody talk that well about Corey Davis in a long time.
Oh, you said Courtney Davis.
Courtney Davis.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. You're breaking up. I think
I'm out. Sorry, that was pretty bad.
Yeah,
I mean, I made myself laugh. That's, you know, as long as I'm happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah, just behind the scenes, Brian just ran to get himself a beer. He takes one sip, and all of a sudden, he's coming out with that horrible stuff. Okay,
God, it's good too.
I'm the beer in forever.
Autos Mountain Any Pale Ale. There you go.
Gross. Okay, let's go back to let's do a Trade Addicts 5 trade, because this is literally just a pick movement, and I was curious on how you guys felt about this one. The 110 and the 205 to move up to the 107. Is that enough for you to is the 205 enough for you to move back three spots over there, Stoops?
Me, no. Personally, because again, knowing the depth of this class, I would rather have those two opportunities. And I think moving back the three spots to, I guess here's the thing. If I had the 107 and someone offered me the 110 and the 205, I would probably take the 110, 205 side. I guess is kind of where I'm saying. So I would rather have the two picks, but I don't think I wouldn't offer that because I don't think it would be enough to move up to the 107. So personally, I'd rather have the two picks, I guess is ultimately where I'm getting.
What about you, Brian?
This one's tough. I mean, I typically subscribe to that as well, but for me, the 107 is kind of like a tier break in terms of the potential players that you're going to get. I mean, you're either going to get the third QB, Herbert, likely, you know, or Dobbins or Akers. So, and that's if things go status quo. So, I mean, you know, there's a possibility that guys like CeeDee Lamb could potentially be there at that pick. So it just depends. Yeah, it just depends. I mean, I think this is a good trade. I think that's what it takes. I made a similar trade with John Hogue in Trade Addict 6 a while back. I moved from the 103 to the 101 and I paid the 204 to do it. And that's a very, you know, this is a very similar trade, you know, a little bit later in the round, but still, I mean, I think those are the types of deals that it takes to move up into a tier to make sure that you get one of the guys that you're targeting.
Yeah, I think the way you just worded at the end was perfect. It's what your team sort of needs or how you like to draft. Do you want to go up into that top tier to get that? None of this is a sure thing, obviously, but the closest we can call to a sure thing in a rookie draft, or do you want to take your two shots in the second tier of players? And, you know, someone like Stoops, who knows these guys very, very well, maybe he wants those two shots. That makes perfect sense. It's funny, like, I wanted to hold on to that 107 and Trade Addicts 1 for like dear life, because just what we know, or like what we've built up this top tier to be. So honestly, I think I don't know if I would take just the 205 to trade back those three spots, even though it's probably the right thing to do, which means it's a good trade, right? I mean, that we could very easily argue both sides. So I guess good on you guys in TA5. Okay, so let's go to, here we go. Mountaintop Scouting. I forgot to copy down his actual handle. So sorry, guy. I think it's like at MT Scouting, to be fair. When building a contender, how many bench players do you ideally want to be startable? If my team has strong depth, how thin is too thin if I want to start consolidating mid-tier assets into higher tier assets?
You got his handle correct.
Woo woo. And then read that horribly, so it's a nice trade-off.
Stoops, I'm gonna let you handle this one, my dude.
Well, so honestly, I came up with a pretty simple answer to it, and it's kind of I'll just basically, for me, it's, I feel comfortable as long as I have enough coverage to, if there's any injuries or bye weeks, that's kind of where I'm at. I want to have enough depth to fill that. But past that, I mean, there does come a point, right, where you are going to be too thin. So it's if you don't think the guys you have are going to be able to produce at a good level when you need to fill them in, and you know that may be 8 to 12 fantasy points, you know, something like that to at least get you through a week, then I think you've got to kind of make that decision to maybe bundle up some guys to then move up to that next tier, you know, whether it be 2 to 3 players, but to jump up to a higher tiered guy or throw in a future pick. You know, you just kind of toy with that as far as when you're making those deals. But yeah, the simple answer for me is the depth I like to have is enough to cover for potential injuries and, you know, any bye weeks. And I'll say my home league, I talk about it all the time in the chat, right? That's my team that I have that's absolutely just loaded. And I love it. That's my favorite roster. But when I go to set a roster, like, as crazy as this sounds, I'm trying to decide between, am I going to play McCaffrey, Zeke, Kamara, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, or Chris Godwin? Because I can only play 5 of those 6 guys. So it's like, who am I going to play, right? You know, so in that situation, like, you kind of don't want to be in there, because now I'm sitting literally a tier one guy, right? You know what I mean? So there's different levels of it, but I guess to
answer the any day gladly be in that situation.
Well, it's a good
to put it out there.
Yeah, no, it's a good position to be in. It really is. The downside to it is I tell my guys, right, like, hey, I'm willing to trade Tyreek or Kamara or CMC or whoever, and they're just like, nah, I don't want them. I'm like, well, then of course I'm just going to stay with them, right? I'm not going to just give them away per se. But now if I've got those mid to low tier guys, I may try and bundle a couple of them up and move up to a, you know, more of a valuable starter while still having a little bit of depth there.
Okay, so the way I'll answer this is depends on the amount of starters you need. If you need 9 or below, I don't even care about bench. I want to not have to make a decision. Well, A, I'm lazy and don't like me. I'm terrible at start-sit decisions. It's not even that I don't like doing it. I'm terrible at it, so I don't really want to have to make it. So I want all of my starters to be startable, and I don't care about what my bench looks like. But when you hit, I mean, 10 is that sweet spot to me where maybe you get one extra guy that is startable at all times because there's going to be at least one injury, and bye weeks, there's going to be a team that has more starters that you're going to run into eventually. So you want at least one guy to fill bye weeks. You know, hopefully you have a lot of flexes instead of needing like requirements between running backs and wide receivers. But once you hit like 11 starters, I want every single person on my roster to be able to be put into my starting lineup if necessary. That's really what it is to me. Like, we have the Dynasty Trades at HQ first, the HQ One Listener League. Like, they thought zero about this league before they set it up. It's 16 teams, super flex, and you have to start, I think it's 11, so even like 11 or 12 players. Oh, wow. Like, no one will ever try and condense talent. Everyone wants as many starters as humanly possible, and it's the right move. It's what you have to do because, man, injuries don't even matter. You just need people to score fantasy points to put in your lineup. That is, we'll call that an anomaly. Most leagues are not like that. But like the Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, we have pretty deep rosters. So you're never going to have all of those guys. We have, what, 32, I think we have, roster spots. You're not going to get 32 startable players, but we start 10. And with the requirements of one of each position, and then the rest are flex. So honestly, I am happy with a team where I have solid starters for all 10, and then maybe one dude that I can throw into anywhere. That's fine with me. That's all I really need. So if I have a whole lot of, I mean, last year I was stuck, I had John Brown on like every single team, and I was trying to use him to package other people to shore up another starting position. But like, if you're stuck with that level of player, then I, in a 10 starter, I would absolutely be willing to just to start bundling to move up to get stronger players.
I think you guys covered it. I mean, I don't need to be super deep. I like being deep enough to cover injuries and buys, kind of like Chris said. You know, and beyond that, I'm doing what you said, Russ, just trying to package guys together or package a player with a pick to upgrade, you know, the position in my overall roster.
Yeah. I mean, depth is important until the point you not only do you need to fill your starting lineup and have guys in case of injuries, but the people you're filling your starting lineup with need to score more points than the other guy's team. So, I mean, that is still important. I mean, don't let that escape your sight, I guess, is a good way to say it. All right. So we have two Trade Addicts trades and a listener question. So, yeah, whatever. Let's do it. Trade Addicts 4. Travis Kelce for Dallas Goedert, Boston Scott, a 21 first and a 21 second. What do you think, Brian? Because you're a tight end guy.
Travis Kelce.
And Stoops is nodding.
Kelce. He's, yeah.
I got Kelce in this deal. I forgot. Sorry, I forgot who it was. But someone just throws out into the TA4 chat looking to sell Kelce. And I'm like, you can send me something. I mean, I'll never really go out to upgrade tight ends just because that's not really my move. But, you know, if someone wants to come to me with a Kelce offer, I'll listen, obviously. And, like, this came into my inbox, and right away, I'm just like, I should probably say yes to this, but I feel weird. Now, let me say this, and this is what made me feel okay doing this deal. The 21 first is mine. Travis Kelce is going to make my team better, easily, mm-hmm. which is going to make that 21 first later. If you are going to be trading a 21 first for talent of any sort, that's you. If make sure it's yours, because when you're selling your 21 first, you want that pick to get worse. Mm-hmm. And to me, I love Goddard. I even with Ertz still there, Goddard's going to be a top 12 tight end next year. I mean, I firmly believe that, and I just traded him away. But still, Kelce is going to make my team a whole lot better with the 1.75 per reception for tight ends. So I think, you know, I always joke whenever I trade my 21 first away, I'm like, it's going to be the 112. So what's the difference? And I mean, I will never say I'm going to win a Trade Addicts league because I will never win a league I run. It's a curse I've learned to live with at this point.
It's a commissioner curse. Yeah. I've won my league like once.
Yeah. So it's the 111 because, you know, I'll do really well, but I still need to cry about something. So I felt good-ish about this, and I like trading. So I pulled the trigger. I think it's a good... It's another thing. Every year is Larry Fitzgerald's last year. Every year is Zach Ertz's last year on the Eagles. I think we need to get past the point that the salary cap means anything, ever. I think we spent 2 years saying that this is going to be that after the 2019 season, Sammy Watkins is going to be off the Chiefs because he's trash and he's going to be worth so much money. They restructured him. He's there. It meant nothing. It doesn't matter. Ertz, I think, has gotten restructured twice. It doesn't matter anymore. Especially Howie Roseman, who's a freaking magician. But again, tight end is so whatever. Dallas Goedert's going to be a top 12 tight end. Again, I firmly believe that. Boston Scott is going to be a usable. He's the guy that I'd be fine with not being my starter, but being on my bench, because I think he will be very usable. And then you get a first and a second out of it. I mean, to me, this is a good trade, but still, I think the value leans Kelce, and I want to win. Please let me, fantasy gods, let me win a Trade Addicts League. Okay, so let's hit this last Trade Addicts League, then we'll hit the last question, and then Brian's yawning, so we'll get out of here. Man, you're tired before I am. I'm just pointing that out.
I just needed a little extra oxygen. I'm not really that tired. I mean, if you want to keep going, if you'd like to go another hour or two, I can go.
Dude, it's early. We started early, so it's only 10:45. We've been recording for an hour 20 already. So, I mean, maybe we will hit up that Moana versus Frozen thing in a little bit. First, let's get this Trade Addicts 6 trade out of the way. Le'Veon Bell for a 208 and 2022 first. Le'Veon Bell is going to be usable, right? Like, I feel like this is me saying I want Le'Veon Bell off my team, and I'll take anything with a one for it.
Like, that's what it feels like to me. I would take the Le'Veon Bell side because. To me, the 2022 first, like, albeit it's a first, right? So that's awesome, but that's still years away. And I'm patient, but I don't know if I'm that patient, right? So for me, it's the Le'Veon Bell side pretty easily. I think he's obviously going to get you the points now. Obviously, whoever's at the 208, whoever falls there could potentially as well. But again, as much as I like the depth of this class, once you fall out of that, like you were saying with like the 107 earlier, right? You're still going to get a guy kind of in that range that could produce this year. But once you start getting lower and lower, you just don't know what's going to happen. You're still taking that chance, even on a highly talented guy. So I'm sticking Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to take my chances with him and see what points he can get me now.
Yeah, see, you are tired. You're supposed to start talking.
No, I have mixed feelings about Lev Bell.
I forgot what it was, but the number roster sizes. You're like, well, I'm partial to number 26. I think we all know why. And Lev Bell at the computer. And I was just like, oh, Lev Bell. And then you're like, Saquon. I'm like, I could have made you just a little angry.
Yeah, that's why I didn't do it when you were on the show. I'm smart. Sometimes. So,
is Adam Gase still there? Then I'm a little bit concerned. Is Lev Bell going to be useful? Yeah, he's going to be useful he's going to get you 650 to 750 yards rushing and catch 55 passes. Yeah, he's useful.
Me too.
Yeah. Boston Scott might actually do that, though, too. So, I'm just saying. I don't know. I mean, Lev, look, he did not look like Le'Veon Bell last year, even when he was out there. He didn't look like the same player. I think he's useful. And I think that for the price, especially to a team that needs maybe some running back depth, I think that this is an okay move. I think I think the value's fine on it. I'm just not real excited about acquiring Le'Veon Bell. He's not a player that, and I'm not because of my bias either. I mean, this time last year, I think I would have liked acquiring him a little bit more. But after watching that offense and knowing that there's a rift there between Bell and Gase and some of the other stuff in New York, Bell isn't a player that I'm really wanting to add right now. Again, I think for the price, it's fine. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like everyone, like you guys were saying with the DJ Moore thing, at first you're like, no, of course it's the player. But the more you think about it, are you going to get a 21 first for Lev Bell right now? I don't think you will. So he got a 208, which again, in a deep class, is a decent pick, by no means a short shot of any sort, but it's a decent pick. And next year, as this year goes on, after the 2020 draft, these 22 picks are what the 21 picks were. Like, it's not going to be very long before the 22 first gains value. Lev Bell ain't gaining value. He'll score you fantasy points this year, that's for sure, but he's not going to gain any value. So if you're not looking to score 12 to 14 fantasy points a game from that running back position, yeah, more power to you, man. If you're okay waiting, a couple of months before anyone takes that seriously in a trade talk, which I'm sure anyone really is anyway. Yeah. I mean, we're not saying that he's going to draft that 22 draft pick. I mean, let's be honest. So in that case, I think the value is fine. I think it's the more I did the same exact thing. I'm like, oh, that's clearly Lev Bell. Well, yeah, no, I get it.
Well, and the more you talked about it, so obviously it's years out still, but I think, so this QB class, next QB class, and then even 2022, I think those three classes are going to be that's the next phase. Like the talent that's going to be coming out with those quarterbacks, I think that's going to be truthfully like what takes over at a young age, and just we see them for the next 15 years, right? I think these quarterbacks over the next 3 years, I think, are going to be it. So depending on where that 2022 first falls, you can still get a top quarterback. And as we said, super flex, right? You got to get the quarterback. So it's still a far way out. But, the more you talked about it, the more I thought about that depth and what those quarterbacks could potentially be looking like. So,
all right. So let's hit up this last listener question from at Mr_LowAHS. When looking at a team's secondary wide receivers, do you prefer consistent lower level performance or boom bust? like a number two on a low power offense versus a 3-4 on a high powered offense. So, sorry, I was going to try and break it down a little easier, but Brian was going to speak already, so I guess you have an answer for this.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I always prefer consistency. If I know what I can expect out of a player every week, then I know how to plan and where I need to add, you know, fantasy points elsewhere in my lineup. You know, if I know that if I have Calvin Ridley and he's my wide receiver too, and I know he's going to consistently get me 14 points a game, then that's, you know, yeah, he's still going to have a 25 point game every once in a while. But if I know that, you know, I know that he's probably not, he's going to average 14 to 15 and, you know, on the low end, he's still going to get me 12. Then I can plan for that in terms of building my roster. So the boomer bust plays are tough. I mean, you know, a player like Brandon Cooks, and I love Brandon Cooks. A couple years ago, Brandon Cooks, but he was inconsistent across the season. I mean, season to season, he was very consistent, but game to game, not so much. And that's harder to plan for because, you know, now you have to pick up those points somewhere else in your roster to have consistent output week to week from your fantasy team. So I always prefer consistent performers. You know, that's just me. I'm a little bit more conservative in my roster builds, I think, than a lot of people. I mean, I've said numerous times on this show that I'm risk averse, right? And consistency is a risk averse thing to chase. You know, it's for someone who's risk averse, consistency is like a godsend. That's what I want. I want players that are, you know, consistent on my fantasy rosters.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I that's what I've got listed here. I would much rather have someone who's going to get me, even if it's, you know, 9 to 11 points. Like, yeah, you obviously want to have more, but if I know I'm getting that, then at least I can, you know, plan around that another position. It's just, I would much rather have the consistent player. I just, that boom or bust, it's, you know, yeah, it's going to win you a week, but it's also going to lose you potentially a couple weeks, you know. So it's, I'm with you. I'd rather have the consistent play, know what I'm getting. Whether it be a, you know, a small range of it, but know what I'm getting.
Yeah, the reason I really liked this question is because it's worded very specifically. And the thing is, I don't think this is going to sound a little mean. I don't think this is the way you need to think about it. Like, I don't think it was a bad question anyway, but, you know, a wide receiver 2 on here versus a wide receiver 3 or 4 there. That's not really how it works anymore. I think, let's bring it back. Are we talking about Christian Kirk, who is technically a wide receiver 3 on a very high-powered offense against, like, we'll bring it back again, Corey Davis, who's a wide receiver 2 on a team that's going to throw the ball 11 times? I mean, the wide receiver 2 versus wide receiver 3 or 4 don't mean anything. I think what you really need to do is, I mean, projections are tough. I mean, I would never try and do it myself, but, you know, look at their targets. Look at look at what the points they've scored. That's what matters more than anything else. Look at the targets, air yards, all these numbers that lead us to believe what a person is going to do. That's what matters a lot more than whether they're the 3rd or 4th or 2nd on a depth chart. And that's why I brought up those specific players, because, I mean, I think now I can finally admit that Corey Davis is not the wide receiver 1 on the team. So I've grown a little bit right there. And, you know, what do we keep saying about the Cardinals? They're going to throw the ball a lot. Like, we were scooping up Keyshawn Johnson and Takeem Butler. I said the right one, right? I could never get him right between him and the guy in the Redskins that I can't even think of his name right now.
Kevin Harmon.
That's it. Like, we were scooping up all these, and Andy Isabella, because we're just like, they're just going to throw the ball. So we were jumping on them. I mean, again, it was in like the 3rd round of rookie draft, but still, like, they were all rostered. I mean, Tajay Sharp wasn't rostered on everyone's, like, in every league, just because, and he was a 3rd, 4th wide receiver on the Titans, because the Titans, they don't throw the ball. You're not going to worry about the 3rd wide receiver on that team. So again, it doesn't matter the place on a depth chart. I think the offense itself matters. Targets matter, if targets really do exist. I don't know. Ask Peter Howard. He gets weird sometimes. But that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show, unless we do have any Frozen / Moana hot takes you want to throw in right now, Brian.
I mean, Lost in the Woods is Grammy caliber.
I was literally singing that with my daughter before I came downstairs.
And the music video is just outstanding. I mean, it would be the number one video on MTV like every week if they still did that on MTV every week.
And have you seen Weezer's version of it?
I actually have not. I bet it's absolutely fantastic.
Yes, if you want to see Weezer dressed as Christoph, you should go check it out.
Yes. Well, and Panic at the Disco does the Into the Unknown.
Into the Unknown.
Well, which is also very good.
Effing baller.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Panic at the Disco's version of Into the Unknown is better than any of the other songs you're ever going to talk about in Frozen 2, Frozen 1, maybe even Moana in general. Like in the words of my buddy Kane, it wails. It wails.
Yeah.
But on that note. So, Stoops, as we set this night to an end, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could listen to you?
Yeah. So, again, I'm everyone calls me Stoops. I'm Stoops1990 on Twitter. One of the hosts of the Devi Delight. We definitely cover, obviously, the Devi aspects of things. We try and go a little bit deeper too. You know, we've obviously talked about the top tier guys, but we try and dive a little bit deeper into it, give you some names that maybe you haven't heard about, you know, at the freshman level, sophomore level, that aren't necessarily, you know, coming up on your rookie drafts the following year. But we're with expandtheboxscore.com again, good little website to get some in-depth stats. That's stats where you can find a lot of targets. Good place to find dominator ratings. I know it's a big thing too. So good stuff there. Again, the promo code, capital letters, Stoops. That's pretty much what I do. So yeah, like I said, I'm active on Twitter at Stoops1990, and my DMs are open. I'm always there. Any Devi questions, any life questions, you know, like Brian said, you know, before, a lot of stuff going on right now. So if you ever need to reach out, need someone to talk to, my DMs are there. They're open. I respond as quick as I can. I won't necessarily be able to get to it every second of every day, but they're open. I see them, I'll get there. So that's where I'm at.
All right, rock and roll. So now onto our stuff. And one day, Brian will learn ffpodshirts.storenv.com.
Sorry.
He's never gotten it right.
I try, man. I try. A for effort. I'll take a C minus. I don't. It's C. I just need to pass. That's all.
So yeah, Trade Addicts, Superflex, Super Show, Dynasty Diagnostic. I got my Coast to Coast Scouting sticker, Top Shelf DFF. We made a shirt for Casey at the Casey Kasem. Hey man, drunk trades, drunk t-shirt designing, I think is my next thing, because I made that shirt one night just for the hell of it, and I think it's freaking awesome. So mine's on its way already. I'm super stoked about it. 10% of all sales go to Fantasy Cares. And speaking of buying stuff and money going to Fantasy Cares, our awesome wristbands, neon green, navy blue, $5 per wristband. Send me or Brian a DM. $2 of every wristband goes to Fantasy Cares. Shipping may take a little bit of time, seeing as how
we're not allowed to go anywhere. To the post office. Yeah.
And if you couldn't see us holding our wristbands up to the cameras because you're not a patron, so why don't you go to patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can become a patron, watch us live stream this to YouTube. You get the link, you could watch, or you could watch it afterwards. It's the unedited version. I cursed in the beginning of this one, so I'm going to have to edit it out. But you could hear me say the F-bomb, which, I mean, listen to me on any other podcast, you'll hear it anyway, but it's special when it happens on ours, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, at a certain level, you get access to the Cool Kids Club, our GroupMe chat, which is lit, as the kids say, I believe.
Litty. Lit. It's lit.
It's lit. Yeah. Man, I'm frozen after that one. Yeah. Got it. Frozen. Nice.
Frozen.
Night, Brian.
Oh, no. Okay. That's all that. Good night, Russ. Meatloaf. Meatloaf Wildcat out.
Bye, Stoops.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian R. FF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.